Welcome to our celebration for the Feast of Christ the King. It is so fitting that the Church has chosen to end every liturgical year with this great feast. The Church always begins the liturgical year at Christ's birth, with the season of Advent preparing us for Christmas. She always ends it with the ultimate end of all reality. Jesus is King for all eternity. But if Jesus is King, exactly where is his kingdom? Where is the kingdom of God? Did you know that the phrase kingdom of God doesn't occur even one time in the entire Old Testament? But it also occurs 122 times in the New Testament. And 90 of those 122 occurrences come from the mouth of Jesus himself. The kingdom of God is a really complex concept. We could define it very simply by saying that Jesus is King of heaven and earth, of everything that is. But I'm not sure that that would really get to the heart of what the kingship of Jesus is really all about. There are at least three other ways of looking at the kingdom of God that might put a little more meat on the phrase. The first is what we might call the Christological view or the Christological dimension. Here we see that the kingdom of God is not a thing. It's not a geographical dominion like worldly kingdoms. It is a person. It is Jesus himself. By the way in which he speaks of the kingdom of God, Jesus leads people to realize the overwhelming fact that in him, God himself is present among them, that he is God's presence. If we look at the kingdom from the ecclesiastical point of view or the ecclesiastical dimension, we see that the kingdom of God is in the here and now, present in and through his holy church. Yet, it is a mixed reality that will only be perfectly realized at the end of time. This current mixed state, if you will, can be seen as the church on earth, which now grows in the field of the world with both weeds and wheat until the harvest. When Christ says in Matthew that he will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat into my barn. The third view of the kingdom of God, the one that I personally tend to spend the most time pondering, is the mystical view or the mystical dimension. Here we see that the kingdom of God resides in the heart of man. One of the early church fathers, Origen, wrote, "Those who pray for the coming of the kingdom of God pray, without any doubt, for the kingdom of God that they contain inside themselves. And they pray that this kingdom might bear fruit and attain its fullness." End quote. So what does it mean to make Jesus King of my life? You know, whenever I meditate on the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, I get to the third sorrowful mystery, the crowning with thorns. And I look at it from two perspectives. The first is that this crown of thorns really hurt physically. I have to believe that those soldiers were so dedicated to causing Jesus as much pain and suffering as possible that those thorns must have really hurt. But I think it hurt him just as much, if not more, to have them put a cloak on him, give him a reed for a scepter, and then mock his kingship of their lives when he loved them so much. And I know I do the very same thing every time I sin. By my sins, I mock his kingship of my life when I know that he loves me so much too. So I look at this don't side of making Jesus king of my life as don't sin. Trying to avoid sin at all costs is certainly one way of making Jesus king of our lives. The flip side of that coin, or the positive side of making Jesus king of our lives, can be found in the Constitution of the Church. No, I'm not talking about Lumen Gentium, the dogmatic constitution on the Church from Vatican II. I'm talking about the one Jesus gave us nearly 2,000 years ahead of that. And you can find the Constitution of the Church in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount. It begins with the Beatitudes, the perfect description of the ideal characteristics of a Christian, and it ends with his comments about true discipleship and building a house on a solid foundation of his teaching. Within these three brief chapters, they're really short, Jesus talks about law and anger and adultery and divorce and retaliation, and about loving our enemies. He talks about almsgiving and prayer. In there you can find the Our Father. He talks about money and depending on God rather than on our own abilities and resources. In there you will even find the Golden Rule. So today, I ask us all to look deep within our hearts to decide what is truly most important in our lives. We need to look and see whether we are really trying to make Jesus the king of our lives every moment of every day. And then next week, we will begin a new liturgical year, and for 4 weeks, we are going to be in the season of Advent. The penitential aspect of Advent gives us a great opportunity to really consider how well we are living up to those three short chapters in the Gospel of Matthew, 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. It forms the constitution of our church and the foundation for making Jesus the King of our lives.